Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Travolting presents The Fraser's Edge, hosted by Jeff Sweeney and Stuart Elmore. Covering In the Army Now. Enjoy the episode. Stuart,
Jeff,
we're here to talk about one of the defining comedic archetypes in film.
You could say a comedic archetype that we are in the final chapter of a trilogy for us.
Well, yes, but I am more referring to the time-honored tradition in the motion picture industry of, we have a funny comedian.
Yeah.
What can we do with them?
Right. It's,
well, we'll put them in a Christmas movie.
Yes.
We'll put them against type. We'll team them up with a hard-boiled guy in a cop comedy.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the one and only test every comedian must take. It's time for you to be in the Army Now.
Yeah.
Because that's right, folks. This week we're discussing In the Army Now, Pauly Shore's go at the Comedian in the Army.
Whoa. Film. Sorry. Jeff. I'd stop you right there. The last time I looked at the title of this podcast, it was Travolting Presents The Fraser's Edge.
Yes.
This is now the third
Pauly Shore
movie that we are
covering.
Yes,
we have covered Pauly Shore's entire Disney contract.
Why?
Because Brendan Fraser has been in all three of them.
He's in this.
As the same character.
And this movie, I have a challenge for that one.
Yes.
Because they are very lazy with how they try to propose that this guy is the same as Link.
Yes, this is the third Link movie.
But yes, you are correct. Apparently, Brendan Fraser does have a cameo in this movie, In the Army Now, as Link from Encino Man. That being said, it is the laziest cameo I have ever seen written. Like, wow.
Yes, it
wow,
is.
Wow.
Yeah. So, well, there's some actually interesting context about this movie specifically.
Yes.
First, I want to pick up with Brendan, where he's at right now. Because when we last left off, we were talking about Airheads last week.
Right.
Where he's back doing comedies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's on a drama comedy, one for them, one for me routine right now.
Because before that was with...
With Honors. Which he passed with honors.
He passed with honors.
But now he's, you know, after with honors, he's doing Airheads. He's making a cameo in the Army Now.
Yeah.
He's, you know, paying respects to Pauly Shore. I can't believe I'm saying the phrase. He's
paying respects to Pauly Shore.
Sure.
No! We are broken.
In a strange sense, I mean, Encino Man was his big break.
Yes.
So he's kind of, you know, throwing Pauly a bone, being like, hey, you know, you did this, you did that for me, I'll do this for you, I'll pop up in both these movies, it'll be fun. He's in them each for one shot, so it's not like he was there for a long time.
Yeah.
And it is, and he is playing the same character, so this is his reprisal of Link over three different movies. You get to see how Link's life is evolving. I'm very happy for Link, he's doing well.
Yeah, well, and then after this movie, he's in The Scout.
Yeah, I mean, after this, he does The Scout, The Passion of Darkly Noon, Glory Days, yada, yada, yada.
Which, you know, I'm just going to say this right now for you audience members. It's a lot of 4.9, 5.4, 5.8, 5.6, 6.4, 6.7, 6.9, 6.... Like...
He gets into something of a rut right after this, or I would even say with this, because this movie is most certainly a rut.
Yes.
But he's still riding the high of the earlier successes that we've talked about.
He's still in the category of working actor.
Yeah. And even the movies that we talked about that weren't successful at the time, you know, a la Airheads,
found a resurgence.
Start growing right after they come out in home video.
Can you believe that had Adam Sandler and Steve Buscemi in it?
It was crazy.
I don't remember recording.
You were going through it.
Yeah, I was going through
it. You're going through it that day.
Yeah, I was going through it. Yeah, he's going to hit a little bit of a rut, and we don't really get another, like... I mean,
we don't get a...
We're not covering the one episode he did in Duckman, right?
No.
Okay.
The next time he has his, you know... A big hit is George of the Jungle, and then he is off to the races.
And then he's off to the races for another 2 years, and then The Mummy.
Yes, which is part of the races.
Right. Wow.
But, you know, right, we're kind of in a little bit of a slump zone right now, where we're getting into one. But it's not, I wouldn't even necessarily call it a slump for him personally.
This would be a slump for Travolta, not for Fraser.
Because he's still coming up at this point.
He's still in that category of up-and-coming working actor. And I think it's been proven time and time again he doesn't have an ego like Travolta does.
And he doesn't have as big of a... he's not as big of a movie star at this point.
Yeah.
So no one really notices the movies that he does that aren't successful.
Very well said.
Like when Travolta starts failing in the 80s, people notice, now, God, Travolta's washed up.
Yeah.
Fraser, like, he's in...
He was never... washed in to begin with.
He's never on the beach.
Yeah.
Or he's never in the ocean to begin with.
Yeah.
So there's not really a major threat for him at this point, besides just the fact that he never does get a big role again, which we know that he does.
Right.
But we'll talk about that context as we go through this next little period of rut. I just want to kind of catch up with him where he's at right now.
And thank you very much for tuning in to the Brendan Fraser, Fraser's Edge podcast.
Yeah, of course.
You can find us on Apple Podcasts.
tune in next. No.
I want you to know, Jeff, that I was watching this with my girlfriend yesterday.
Yes. And tell her I'm sorry.
We were literally just laying on the couch watching this. And I was like, oh, is that the Fraser cameo? I'm like, yeah. It's like, so you can stop watching this now, right? Right?
Right?
No.
Nope.
I told her, nope.
100%
like, context. What have you done? Like, what are you doing? And I'm like, it's all or nothing, babe.
It's all or nothing.
All or nothing.
We're
commitment.
Locked in.
Because, yeah.
I too watched this with my fiance last night, and she fell asleep.
Yeah.
Which I was struggling not to during this movie. Because, folks, I'm just going to say right off the bat, this movie's interminable. It's like nigh unwatchable.
It's not good. And I tried. I tried really hard.
Because, like, Encino Man I really enjoyed. Son-in-Law, there were some bits
There were some bits in Son-in-Law I was okay with.
And then this
this movie, the moment they shave his do, it's, you know.
They shave the do and don't let him guzzle some brew.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. But that actually does speak to the context of this movie, which is that Pauly Shore has a lot of problems with this movie as well.
Yeah.
Because we talked about how he had a Disney deal at this point.
Right.
And he wanted to do a movie that was not in his Disney deal called London Calling. Was his goal shortly after Encino Man and Son-in-Law. But Disney insisted that he stick with them. And they had the script for this movie in the army now that they are like, this will be a great fit for Pauly. Pauly did not see it. He didn't think the script was great. And he also wanted to continue with his Weasel character.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that again. Pauly wished to continue with his Weasel character.
He wished to continue with his Weasel character.
Yes, off of Encino Man and in some respects, Son-in-Law.
Some respects.
Yeah, like London Calling would have just been a Weasel movie. Yeah. Like it would have just been that character he'd been playing.
Yeah.
But Disney was so insistent upon keeping him in their fold that they bought London Calling and then shelved it.
Wow.
Just so that he would do In the Army Now instead.
What was this Pauly Shore fanaticism that they had?
He was popular with teenagers at the time. It was crazy. But it was Disney CEO Jeffrey Katzenberg at the time.
Mm.
His agents wanted him to not do this movie. He didn't really want to do this movie. And especially because his hair was going to get shaved and he wouldn't be playing the weasel. It was generally considered by everyone in his circle it would be a bad move.
Yeah.
But Disney so fully boxed him in that this was the only choice he could make, was to do this movie.
Damn.
And so he made In the Army Now, and they decide, and he's like, well, at least, you know, we can make the joke of it that it's Pauly not playing Pauly. Oddly enough, Pauly went all in on talking about this movie on a Joe Rogan appearance like 5 years ago.
Interesting.
Which is a very strange sentence.
Yeah, it's strange.
It was probably like an episode where it was like Joe Rogan and Donald Trump, or Pauly Shore and Donald Trump appear on Joe Rogan, and like it was one of those weird artifacts of history, most likely.
Probably.
Where like something big is happening at the same time as something small.
Yeah.
Not that Pauly Shore is like, you know, big in any way.
Yeah. Continue with what you were saying, like that you're trying to play off the bit that Polly's not being Polly.
Yeah. And then this movie is the end of his career, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
This movie doesn't make that much money. Disney does not re-up their contract with him after this. And his next two movies are flops, and his career is ostensibly over after this. Which is, you know, it's the three Paulies that we've covered.
Right. Which, I mean, like, after this, it was, what was it after this?
After this, he does Jury Duty and Biodome. Biodome being the one about being trapped inside of a dome.
Interesting.
It's like they're put inside of a dome for a little bit to try and test out how men can... It's like a science experiment movie.
Yeah, right.
Oddly enough, I read about it in this book I just finished called The 90s by Chuck Klosterman.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about how there was like the Biodome experiment in the 90s, and then that they made the shitty movie based off of it.
Damn.
But yeah, this movie is essentially the end of the Pauly Shore experiment.
Yeah.
And it's the end of our experience with Pauly Shore on this show.
Good riddance.
So good riddance for us. That's no more of this.
No more of this. I'm done with this Pauly Shore phase. Yeah.
And another thing that kind of, you know, kneecaps this movie is this was written to be R-rated. This is written to be a raunchy R-rated comedy in the style of Stripes.
Where have we met this problem with Disney before?
We have met this problem.
Yeah.
What was the movie? Oh, it was Old Dogs.
It was Old Dogs. Which that smells like a movie that should have been R.
Yeah. The thing about Old Dogs is that it's kind of funnier that they had to make it PG.
Yeah.
Because it's like this extremely transgressive movie rated PG.
With two very adult stars, John Travolta and Robin Williams.
Old Dogs is almost funnier in that they forced it to be PG when it should have been R.
Yeah.
This is the opposite problem.
Right.
Like have you seen Stripes?
Stripes.
It's a Bill Murray. It's the good version of this movie.
No, but I know.
Stripes is the good version of this movie.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to think, like, what are the other comedians in War? Like 1941 kind of fits in the 1941's a weird movie.
Okay.
But Stripes is the good version of this movie, and they wanted to try and emulate that, and hence why it was written as R.
Yeah.
And then Disney was like, well, Pauly appeals to teenagers, so it needs to be PG-13, no more, no less.
PG-13, no more, no less.
I mean, I couldn't honestly tell or give a shit either way.
Yeah.
Because it's the whole movie in general is just kind of blah.
Yeah.
And we get a set of ass cheeks.
Yes.
That does happen. We get some ass cheeks.
We get some Pauly ass. We go down the shore.
Down the sandy shore.
We do go down the sandy shores.
Yeah. Or his shore gets sandy. But honestly, it's very muted movie. For a movie that takes place during like a Libyan
Look at how
rebellion.
Small my notes for this movie are.
Look how small my notes are.
You don't even have any.
I don't have any.
Stuart, every week you come in and say, I should probably take notes next week, and then you don't.
That's my bit. That's my bit now, for now on. I'll never take notes on these movies anymore. I just come in raw and raw dog
these episodes.
Yeah, I really do.
Do you want to just dive in to the plot?
Yes.
Because there is no plot here.
What plot are we talking about?
Watch this. I'm going to recap this movie in 30 seconds or less.
I'm going to time you.
You're going to time me?
Hold on a second.
Wait, I need to figure out what Pauly Shore's friend's name is. That's all. All
right. Well, actually, give me a second. I got to... 30 seconds, you said?
Yes. All right. Let me know when I'm being timed.
Give me a minute. 30 minutes. 30 seconds, he says.
Okay.
Hold on. I'm almost there. Are you ready?
Yes.
Go.
Okay. Pauly Shore, playing Bones, and his friend Fred join the army because they have no other prospects. They want to open a video store. They get recruited. They go through boot camp. They do okay at it because they're persistent. They get deployed to the water deployment. They get water purification facility in a war between Chad and Libya. They get teamed up with two other chuckle fucks. They get kidnapped by the Libyans. They escape somehow by kicking a wall open. They then call in an airstrike, blow up the Libyan facility, become U.S. Army heroes, and get the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Wow. That was 30 seconds.
well, thank that's you the for, plot of this movie.
Thank you for tuning in. Wow. I mean...
We start off in this video store, and Pauly Shore and his friend Fred are working...
Played by Andy Dick, by the way.
Andy Dick.
It's very important to know.
They're like hustling the customers to keep their jobs.
Or hustling their manager.
Yeah, they're hustling their manager
to keep their job.
At one point, Pauly says, I'm always selling. If the store went on fire, I'd be selling tapes to the firemen.
Right. It's like, how do we do it? Because we're crazy boys.
It's Crazy Boys Video Store.
I'm sorry, but this Pauly speak shtick is like run its course for me.
Yeah, it's run its course.
Yeah, I'm over it.
But they get fired because they're caught
hustling. Yeah.
And so they decide the only option they have is to join the army. They join the reserves because it means 2 weeks of boot camp. They have to work like 2 weeks out of the year.
Yeah.
And then they only get called in if there's like an actual war.
Yeah.
But then, a war breaks out between Chad and Libya, and for some reason the United States Army is like
involved
going in
with thousands of troops.
Also,
tens of thousands of troops.
Also, I would just like to say, why is Libya invading Chad?
Are you thinking of the time frame for 1994?
No. I'm going to show you a map, because as far as I'm aware, Libya and Chad don't border each other. Oh, wait, no, I'm wrong. They do. I take it back. Libya and Chad do border each other.
Jeff.
I had to bring up a map.
Geography.
Yeah, geography. Look at this fucking guy.
Fucking hard.
But for some reason, the United States Army decides that they're going to invade Chad as well and fight back Libya.
Yeah.
So they get deployed and as the water boys to purify water, and they get sent in with Christine, played by Lori Petty, and
for folks,
David Alan Grier playing Fred. Okay, Fred is David Alan Grier. Jack is Andy Dick. My bad.
Yeah, and for folks who don't recognize those names, I saw them. And I was like, oh wait, it's that person. Lori Petty is. She is Sarah in Station 11. That's right. She's also in like more known movies like A League of Their Own, Point Break, Free Willy. Sorry, I just knew the Lori Petty I knew from like Station 11 was like the biggest thing. And then David Alan Grier. Him I know from... Oh, he's in The Patient. Interesting. Clifford the Big Red Dog. There's like another thing that I knew him from exactly, though, that was a lot more like recognizable. I'm running out.
You're running out?
Fuck. Okay, never mind. Well, anyway, there's some recognizable names that you might know in this.
Yes.
So, at any rate, yes, they are water purification guys. Jeff, gotta give me some talk time, okay? Audience has to know I'm still here.
Yes, I'm giving Stuart some talk time.
The water purification guys, they run a course with the Special Forces dudes.
Yeah.
It's around this time frame where we get our Brendan Fraser cameo.
Yeah, I would like to point out before we get to the Brendan Fraser cameo that there is one joke in this movie that I laughed at.
What was
it? And it happens
joke?
Here. And there's also one other thing in this movie that I laughed at.
Okay.
The first one is that when they go to the recruiting office, the recruiting officer is Glenn Morshower.
Yeah.
Who plays military dude in every single movie to ever exist.
Every single movie.
Now, he's in the first three Transformers and the fifth one. We mustn't forget. He's in Transformers.
He's an Iron Man.
Well, he's not an Iron Man.
He's not an Iron
he's
Man?
He's an X-Men First Class. It might be what you're thinking of.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
But he is in Transformers 1 as Colonel Sharp. who's the guy at the beginning of the movie is like, gotta cut the hard line. And like, he's cutting the thing. So the Transformer can't snap. But the thing is, he's in Transformers 2, 3, and 5 as a different guy.
I love that so
He's
much.
Colonel Sharp, and then he's General Morshower, but just playing himself.
Wow.
In Transformers 2, 3, and 5, Revenge of the Fallen, Dark of the Moon, The Last Knight.
Wow.
He's in X-Men First Class as Colonel Robert Hendry. He's in Battlefield 3 as, like, in Call of Duty Black Ops 2 as the FBI announcer.
Like,
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I want to imagine this guy's career for a second here, Jeff. Because...
Wait, Stuart, I'm going to go through this guy's career. And I'm going to read for you only the titles he has in movies.
Okay.
Not his name.
Okay.
Ensign, Navigator, Secret Service Agent, Vice Admiral, Colonel, Captain, Agent, Agent, Medical Courier, Colonel, General, Colonel, General, Commander, General, Captain, Detective, Guard, Chief Petty Officer,
no.
Sheriff.
No!
Commander, Sheriff,
no!
Agent, Lieutenant, Colonel, Detective, Agent, Defense Secretary,
You're
Officer, General, Coach,
There's no way.
Admiral,
There's
Preacher,
no way.
Senator, General, Editor, FBI
oh
Executive
God.
Assistant Director,
it's so many.
Agent,
Please let
FBI
it end.
Announcer,
oh my God.
Overlord.
Overlord?
Yeah, this is in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 Campaign Remastered. But
Whoa.
that is Glenn Morshower's career in titles.
Wow. 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 What's his name again?
Glenn Morshower.
Glenn Morshower, you get that paycheck, bro.
Now,
it's like, can you imagine he's like on a first date? It's like, so what do you normally do? It's like, oh, I'm the military guy in movies.
Like, now, as far as I can tell, he doesn't have any actual military experience. He just like fit the role really well.
Oh
and has
God.
Then been stuck in it for like 60 years.
Do you think he like dreams of doing like a sappy,
like a real
rom-com movie? But he just keeps getting categorized as like the military guy, so he can't get out of it.
His most recent work was he was the FBI Executive Assistant Director in Ozark.
Oh, my God.
But, yes, it's very funny. But the reason I really laughed in this movie is because I've obviously he's been in a lot of stuff and I've seen him in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
He has hair in this.
He does.
He has a nice do in this. And it really fucking threw me off.
Because he's bald.
I'm used to bald Glenn Morshower.
Yeah, he's normally bald.
And then I saw full haired Glenn Morshower. And I was like, oh, okay. He had hair.
Two periods of Jeff's life.
And I was like, okay.
Pre hair Glenn Morshower, post hair Glenn Morshower.
Yeah, it threw me off for a second. I will not deny.
Yeah. That's great, Jeff.
Yes.
And speaking of hair, I wish I could do a hair ranking today on Brendan Fraser. But the problem is we don't see any hair on his head today because his cameo, I have a photo of it, Jeff. Do you want to see the photo?
Yes, I do.
That's the cameo.
Yeah, he's wearing a hat the whole
time.
He's
wearing a hat the whole time and he's bending over.
Do you want to just put it at the bottom?
Yeah.
Is that what you
want to
do?
We haven't talked about what his cameo is though yet, Jeff.
No, we have not talked about him yet.
So... this is when we get that interaction with the Special Forces guys.
Yes.
They're in a tent. They're in Libya already. And are they in Libya or Chad?
They're in Libya. They're in Chad, and they accidentally wind up in Libya.
Okay.
Because their truck goes off the road.
Right. That's right. And so they're in Chad, and they're in this mess hall tent, and they are eating grub or whatever.
Yeah.
And then... while they're eating, Brendan Fraser,
yeah,
in like a military camos, come like it walks by them, and it says, "Don't taste the chicken; it tastes like frog." By the way, are you gonna eat that? Takes a bite, eats it, and walks away. And he just like a gesture, like "thank you." He doesn't say thank you, but it's like a thank you gesture, and then walks away.
Yeah, because he ate a frog in the last two movies. It's a still. He's still like. I must confess, I did not laugh.
I did not laugh.
Like I was happy to see him. He gave it a little spark to this movie, but I did not laugh.
And like, it's.
I did laugh at this. Like,
Is he supposed to be Link?
He is supposed to be Link. Is his thing?
And he's full on talking.
Well, his thing says Link on the his like fatigues.
Oh my god, it's so
like
lazy.
Bring up that picture. It's on his fatigues. It says Link.
It's so lazy though.
The idea being that we've now seen Link in high school, we've seen Link in college, and we've seen Link in the military.
Interesting that even a caveman separated by thousands of years from American culture would still end up in the...
Yeah, in the armed forces. He was pressured into it in the military industrial complex.
Yeah. Sad.
Yeah, very sad. Yeah, the other joke, the one joke I laughed at in this movie is Paulie is like in training and he picks up a bazooka and he's holding it backwards.
Yeah.
Like the firing ends on the back. And the drill sergeant's like, Mr. Bone, Private Bones, you're holding that upside down. And he just like rotates it.
Yeah.
It was actually a really good joke. I like that. Yeah. One perfect joke in this movie.
That was kind of funny.
Yes.
It was okay.
A truly perfect joke in this movie. And then the rest of it was kind of blah.
Yeah.
But they go to Chad, and then they get knocked off a supply run by a Libyan attack, and they wind up in Libya.
Yeah, well, they're like in... This is like a Spaceballs in the desert.
Yeah.
Calm the desert, damn it! Calm the desert! Found anything yet? We found shit! Good movie, Spaceballs. Way better than this movie.
Spaceballs, good movie.
But at any rate, no, they're in the desert and they're wandering. They, their water truck breaks down in the sand, so can't go any further. And they find a Libyan camp.
Yes.
And they rescue one of the special forces guys.
Played by S.I. Morales.
And then they escape.
Who looks like, oh my god, what's his name? Timothy. He looks like Timothy Oliphant.
I guess a little bit, but
to the extent that he's in the new Mission Impossible movie, and every time I see the trailer, I'm like, oh, Timothy Oliphant's in this movie.
And it's not.
And it's not.
It's
S.I. Morales.
Oh, you know who this guy also is? He's also, am I thinking of the right guy?
I don't know. Are you thinking of the right guy?
I thought he looked... Yes, he is Dellen Ozarks.
Oh, Glenn Morshower and S.I. Morales both popping up in Ozark.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's in Ozark. This is not applicable to us at all, Jeff, but he's also Chief Lugo in Chicago PD.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Wow.
He's very good as Dellen... Ozarks.
Yeah,
if you've like seen him as like the cartel drug crime lord, it's very good. But yeah, then they escape. They reach a supply run. They get a radio. They call for help. It's what's that fucking guy's name? Who's like the first sergeant of the battalion over there? Art LaFleur. First Sergeant Brandon T. Williams. Is his character. So they call for help and LaFleur picks up and he's like, all right, guys, I need you to go back to that Libyan base. You have a laser pointer. You're going to point the laser pointer at the Libyan base and then they're going to do an airstrike on it.
Yes.
They go back to this Libyan base. They point the laser at it. A firefight breaks out and then eventually they throw a grenade. The airstrike misses and then a grenade blows up and it destroys a Libyan camp.
Yes.
And then they go home. They're back stateside. They opened up a store?
Yeah, they opened up a video store, and I can't... It's some kind of, like, Libyan-themed somehow, which seems insensitive.
A little bit.
Yeah, I mean...
Then the movie's over.
That's essentially the extent of it. The problem with this movie...
There's a lot, Jeff.
Well, number one, Paulie Shore does not work as a main character. We've talked about this.
Correct.
He's good as a supporting player.
Yes.
When you get a little taste of Paulie, not the whole hog.
Not the full, you know, gulp.
Yeah. Just a little taste.
Yeah.
And this movie is all Paulie.
It's all Paulie, but
he's not allowed to be Paulie.
Full Weasel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just Paulie Shore, who's not like a great actor when he's not being Weasel.
He's a terrible actor.
He's terrible.
But he's like Mr. Bean. That's like asking
Rowan Atkinson to be in a Mr. Bean movie, but he can't do Mr. Bean.
Right. That would make no sense at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I feel for Polly.
Quick aside.
Yeah, yeah.
Stu, have you ever seen Johnny English?
No.
The Rowan Atkinson movie where he plays the James Bond spoof?
No.
I remember there are three of those fucking movies.
There's three of them?
Yeah, I remember watching Johnny English when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, when I was, like, five.
Okay.
Apparently they made Johnny English 2 in, like, 2013. They made Johnny English 3 like 2 years ago.
Holy shit.
I don't know what's... Yeah, it must be a big deal in the UK. It's crazy.
I mean, my favorite Rowan Atkinson is the one where he's playing the keyboard in like one of the Olympics.
That was pretty good.
That was like... Hold on. Let's see if I can like...
I watched this.
But yeah. I'll just... Our audience has to go and like listen to it. It's really funny.
It's Johnny English Reborn and Johnny English Strikes Again. Johnny English Strikes Again, big movie because it featured the return of Boff.
Boff.
Thank you.
That's how I felt watching this movie.
Bless you. Didn't expect it.
Jeff, what more do we need to do, torture ourselves wise?
With this movie? I think, at the beginning of this movie, Pauly does do one thing that I felt a lot of kinship with.
What?
He's talking about the movies that they're selling. Or he's talking about the military, and he does, you can't handle the truth. And he says, that's my Nicholson impression. You want to hear more? And I was like, Pauly, I do. I do want to hear your Jack impression.
No, I don't want to hear anybody's Jack impression.
In fact... Pauly, why don't you come? I'm not gonna.
Oh my god, I almost flipped the table.
Stuart, like,
I almost flipped this fucking table.
No,
I would have killed you.
No, my final notes for in my book on this movie are boring with 3 G's, and then cool, and then that's it.
Yeah, well, folks, sorry, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's all we can really talk about.
Yeah, you know, apologies for. You know, another short episode, but it's kind of like we don't want to waste your time with, you know, listen to the next one. The next one will be better.
I think this was a good episode. We had some. It's a short one. People like a little morsel sometimes.
But get ready for when Brendan Fraser plays Steve Nebraska in The Scout.
Yeah, make sure to tune in. Thank you, folks, for listening to this episode on In the Army. Oh, this movie comes out.
Post text.
This movie comes out
my bad.
August 12th, 1994. It is not a box office success. It's still Pauly Shore's fourth most successful movie ever.
Holy shit.
Behind Encino Man's Son-in-Law and a Goofy movie.
Oh my god. You call a Goofy movie like an actual Pauly Shore?
He's in it. He is in it.
But doing what?
Voicing a character. Jesus.
What character?
He is, we've talked about this, Robert Bobby Zemaruski.
Okay, you cannot call that a Pauly Shore movie.
It's a Pauly Shore movie. He's in it. It's not like a Pauly Shore movie, but he's in it.
Okay.
Anyway, comes out. It's a flop. It has a 6% on Rotten Tomatoes. This 1994 Pauly Shore vehicle stretches its star's thin shtick to the breaking point with a laugh-deficient screenplay that borrows shamelessly from Bill Murray's far superior Stripes.
Yeah.
Brutal. Anyway, now we can actually say thank you, folks, for listening to this episode on In the Army Now. Make sure to tune next week for episode on The Scout with Ange Gardner.
Hey!
We're joined by Ange Gardner, coming back from the Bolt episode and the Gotti episode.
Yes.
Make sure you tune in for that one. In the meantime, please remember to rate, review, subscribe, or whatever platform you're listening on. As a reminder, we are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and YouTube. Hit us up on any of them as you wish. You can find us at Twitter or Instagram at TravoltingPod. You can email us TravoltingPodcast@gmail.com. Pop into the Reddit, r/Travolting. You can find me on Twitter at Jeff W. Sweeney.
Narg.
And as always, special thanks to Michael Van Bodegum Smith for the theme music and Rebecca Johnson for the graphic design you're seeing on your phone right now. Have a great rest of your week, folks, and see you next time.
God bless. Bye.